Open your Bibles, if you would, to Mark. We're going through the Gospel of Mark, to Mark chapter 13. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the back of your seats. We'll get some more Bibles in. Hey, Pastor Gary, where is he? Oh, sorry. Would you have us order some more pew Bibles? Yeah, just so I don't forget. Thank you. So last week, if you weren't here, if you let a little rain keep you away, we were in Psalm 19. We took a little break because there was a little, anyway, because that's what the Lord had us do. But if you didn't see that, if you didn't watch it online, if you weren't here, can I ask you to go online? We got the Home Fellowship Church YouTube channel. It's on there. I think it's on our Facebook page. But Psalm 19, what we spoke about in Psalm 19, the first six verses were about God speaking in nature as the heavens declare the glory of God. And in verses 7 through 11, that God is still speaking to us in his precious word. And then God is speaking to us in our soul in 12 to 14. We only covered really 1 through 11. But if we looked upward in the skies, we see his glory as the heavens declare the glory of God. If we would look downward at the scriptures, at his word, we see that God speaks to us as in his greatness as he's given us his sure and precious promises that we'll be able to overcome every issue of life. And then thirdly, if we look inward at the soul, it handles those issues that even we can't deal with. Right now, we're in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13. And so we've been following along with Jesus on his journey. He's coming to the last bit of his life here and his ministry on earth. He's in the temple area. We had just left him as he saw the poor widow who gave even a tiny fraction of cents, and yet, and compared to all these rich, you know, people, Pharisees giving all, you know, making a big show of their money, she gave it all she had. It was just, but Jesus is never really concerned as much with the amount as he is with the heart behind it. And she had the right heart in giving. And as they were leaving, if you remember in Mark chapter 13, we went over this a couple weeks ago, it was such an amazing time. This is a picture of the temple and the temple courts area in Jerusalem and Israel. But the disciples were like, wow, look at what massive stones and magnificent buildings. And Jesus kind of is, in Mark 13, he goes into prophecy mode. And he's going to tell things that are difficult to hear. So if you've been enjoying our time, which has been challenging through the Gospel of Mark, if you're here today for your first time, buckle up. Because it's about the future, and, you know, a judgment is coming. So if you brought a friend here today, it is what it is. God got him here, and there's a reason for that. And he said not one stone here would be left upon another. Everyone would be turned down. We showed you that historically that happened. Israel ceased being a nation for 2,000 years. The language was gone. The temple was gone. The Israel was gone. And this is historically, even some people say, oh, that there was, the stuff didn't happen. But in the Arch Titus, when we were in Rome, this is the triumphal arch built by Domitian. And it commemorates the victories of his father, Vespasian, and also his brother Titus, the Jewish war in Judea. That's what it says. When the great city of Jerusalem was sacked and the riches of its temple plundered, that's what it says on it. And if you look there very closely, you'll see them carrying away the table of showbread, the menorah. It's very clear what they're doing anyway. So then as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came in privately, when is this going to happen? And Jesus didn't give them a day or a time. Because it's not for us to know. But he said, hey, I want you to look at the seasons, and I want you to see what's coming. And he said to them in Mark 13, 5 through 6, he goes, I want you to watch out that no one deceives you. He says, listen, many will come in my name claiming I am he, deceiving many. And we know that's what the Bible says. There's going to be a lot of teachers teaching what people's itching ears wants to hear. Listen, it's very easy to fill seats. It really is. If you tell people what they want to hear and you don't have to challenge them too much, you know what? I like that. I come to church and I just feel fantastic every single time I come, and I flitter flutter home and I'm never challenged. But the Bible, Jesus challenged us a lot because he wants us to be strengthened and grow, right? So we have to wrestle through some of these things. So don't listen to these deceivers. That's why the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, we went over this, to do your best to present yourself as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth, the word of God. That's your offensive weapon. That's the sword. That's how you can tell these deceivers. That's why it's important for you to read the word on your own. I love that you come on Sundays. I love that you come to the Bible studies. If you come to the school, you're getting Bible. Bible is interweaved in history, in science, and everything. I love that. However, don't stop there. You take the word of God, hide it in your heart for yourself. Every day, renew your mind. And not just hide it in there, not just study it, not just read it, right? It says, don't merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. Do what it says. You have to apply it. You can get all the knowledge in the world, and if you do that, you'll become a puffed up, arrogant little jerk. And there'll be no change in your heart and life. Who wants that? Okay? And then he says, Jesus said, hey, in Mark 13:78, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. So he's telling them what's going to happen in the end times. Just like birth pains, so I've been told, increase in pain, intensity, and frequency, right? As the closer the birth, it's the same with the end times. You're going to see more wars. You're going to see more anger. You're going to see more angst. You're going to see more hatred. And that's just what's going to happen. Why did you bring me to this church? No. You saw this. You saw the Paris Olympics, the mocking ceremony, right? We talked about that too, you know, mocking Christ. And it's just, you know, they would never do this to Islam because they would go and kill them all. It's the truth. So we love and pray for them. So then Mark 13:9 says, you must be on guard, Christians. You'll be handed over to local councils, Jesus telling them, flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you'll stand before governors and kings as a witness to them. So he's like, you guys have to guard yourself, guard your heart, and the gospel must first be preached to all nations. That's where we left off. So we're going to start off in verse 11. Let me get there real quick in my Bible. Continue from Mark. Okay, blah, 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 blah. A second. Should have had this open. And I've got so much writing in it. And yes, it is a little smaller print, so I have to look a little closer. I'm going to read from, let's say, verse 11. I'll do to 27. I'll see if I can get there. Okay? Read with me, okay? Open your app in your Bible, Bible Gateway, or whatever app you use, or with your Bible. Follow on. Verse 11, Mark chapter 13. And then we'll go through verse by verse. When you are arrested and brought to trial, don't worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given to you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. During these end times, it says, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Ouch. Verse 13 continues, and all men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to enter the house to take anything out. Let no one who is in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful will it be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that this will not take place in winter, because those will be days of distress unequaled from the beginning of time when God created the world until now and never equaled again. If the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect whom he has chosen, he has shortened them. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, there is a Christ, or look, there he is, Do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will appear, perform signs, miracles to deceive the elect, if that were possible. So be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. And then it says, at that time you'll see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. So that's, hopefully we're going to get that far. I will say there's a lot of stuff that I'm leaving out. And so we went through the whole book of Revelation. We spent 8 months in it, in the book of Revelation. And so we also went through the book of Daniel, although I think that's only on audio. And if you want more information on that, then just ask. We'll get it to you. But we're going to try to cover a lot today and see what we can get through. Okay, so we'll go on to the next verse, and that's what it starts. He's talking about these end times events that are going to happen. There's going to be a persecution. It's going to be during this tribulation period. It's going to be a worldwide persecution, and it's not going to be pretty. Mark 13:11 starts us off and says, whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, don't worry beforehand about what to say. You know what? I just want to say something. There's a lot of preachers out there and teachers that tell you when you become a Christian that you just, it's all roses and rainbows, that there's not suffering, that there's not. What does the Bible tell you right there, even right there? It says when you're arrested, right? We're going to see later, it talks about persecution. These things are going to happen, but we have the joy of the Lord. If you know Jesus, and I don't mean know him intellectually, like I went to church almost 30 years, right? About 20 some odd years, and I knew about Jesus. I grew up religious, but there's a difference between being a religious person and having a relationship with Jesus Christ. It makes all the difference. You go from black and white to color. You go from understanding in just an intellectual set to, I didn't realize. I don't even know how to quite describe it, even after all these years. But you know the difference if you've been saved and you've given your life to Jesus. There is a difference. He'll change your heart, your mind, your attitude, your thinking, your direction in life, everything. Anyway. He says, just say whatever is given to you at that time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. So a couple things that I've noticed in this verse. For followers of Jesus, persecution equals proclamation. When Christians, if you've noticed in the Bible, whenever they're persecuted, what happens is if they really know Jesus, they don't shirk back and shrink and die. Instead, just the opposite. The Holy Spirit gives them this boldness. You see it in Daniel chapter 1. You see it in chapter 2 or 3 when they're going to be thrown into the furnace. And they're like, hey, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, even if you throw us in the furnace, we're not going to bow down and worship this image. We're just not going to do it. Right? He's able to rescue us, our God. But even if he doesn't and we die, we're going to be with him. I tell you, we're not going to bow down to the image that you set up for us. That's the book of Acts. You see it in the book of Acts, chapter 4, 8. Acts chapter 24, 25, 26, 4, 8, when they imprisoned Peter and John, they say, hey, you need to shut up. Stop talking about this Jesus as the Messiah. Stop talking about salvation. You need to stop talking about it. We like it just religious, where people just obey the pastors and the rabbis. And they're like, man, we got to obey God rather than men. And they just went out and they beat him. They imprisoned him and they went out and did it anyway. That's persecution for a Christian. You know what? That's where you find out when you go through trials, when you go through persecution, no one likes it. But that's where you find what you're really made of. Like sometimes there's been times where I thought, man, I am so on fire for the Lord. Bring it on. And then all of a sudden, a little persecution happens. Oh, Lord. Okay, I thought I was stronger than that, you know. So we need to make sure that we are not a wax Christian. Have you ever been to like a Madame Tussauds wax museum or St. Augustine? They have all these wax figures. Some of them look really so close to what the actors or historical people look like, right? But if you turned up the heat and you put a little, even though it looks, it would melt. We don't want you to be a wax Christian. We want it to be true in your heart. And God wants that for you as well. And so Jesus is telling us when this time comes, okay? Just like when even persecution arises now or trials or tribulations, he's going to supply all that we need. And it's true in your life. I love this Philippians verse. I made this scripture picture, and I picked, you know who that is, right? Daniel, right. Daniel Lion's Den. But I like the scripture picture because I thought it brought out exactly what I was trying to say. It says in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, it says, excuse me, I went a little bit too far. First off, it says, don't be anxious about anything. How we doing? Can I tell you a secret? There are some times when even my wife gets anxious. No, there are some times. No, there are some times when even I can let anxiety get to me. I'm telling you, it's wrong when I let it overtake me, right? Just being honest. I don't want to go to church today. I just don't. Can't somebody else do it? Can't somebody else go to... Do I have to be around people? That Stan is there. That Sue. He always gives me hugs. Whatever it is, you know. The AC won't be set low enough. Sorry, that was an internal thought, whatever. The bottom line is, the Bible says don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, he says, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So when you're going through that anxiety, and you feel it's taken over, right? You start to pray, just like Daniel did in the lion's den. Remember? Look at him. I mean, obviously that's not right. This is an artist's rendition of it for my scripture picture that I made. But you know what? He's in the middle of the lion's den. It's like, hey, how you doing? Meow. Okay? We're by prayer and petition. So I'm not saying anxiety doesn't exist. I'm not saying that the economic problems that you're having aren't real. Okay. Or that you shouldn't be, maybe I got planning. What I'm saying is when that happens, Lord, help me. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, give me, provide. You're my Jehovah Jireh. That's what it means. God, my provider. You're my provider. Give me everything that I need to get through this day, this relationship, this service, this attitude, this, you name it. Does that make sense? Present your requests to God with thanksgiving. And then it says, if you'll do that, if you'll pray, you'll petition, Lord, with thanksgiving. Not like, God, you always put me in this situation. I can't stand it. No, with thanksgiving. Lord, I know you've got me in this. I'm in this situation. Maybe even I got myself there. I'm asking for your help. I know. Thank you, please, Lord. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for loving me. Even when I do dumb stuff, help me. That's what we're supposed to do. And if you'll do that, it says the peace of God that transcends all your understanding. So it's not like those problems don't exist, right? But the peace of God that transcends all that understanding will come upon you in Christ Jesus and give you that supernatural peace. Does that make sense? Everyone? Yes?
Amen.
And it says that peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, Lord, you're going to get me through this. You're going to get me through today. You're going to get me through that situation, whatever it is. I love what Philippians 4:13 says. That was a selfie. Showing off my huge pectoral muscles. Anyways, Philippians 4:13 says the same thing. It says that, you know, when you run into those trials and tribulations, the Bible says, I can do all things, not because I'm so amazing. I can do it through Christ who gives me strength. So when I pray, when I petition with thanksgiving, when I ask for that, man, he can get me to do some incredible things if I step in faith and trust him. Does that make sense? But you have to choose to do that, and so do I. Okay? Now, history records the fact that Christians have been on trial for their faith and have been amazed at the answers God has given them in the moment. This is a book that I also recommend. I love books, I know, but this is called Jesus Freaks. It's by DC Talk. They're a Christian band. And Voice of the Martyrs. You can buy it on Amazon, maybe $15. Who said that? Yeah. It's in my top 10 books for 20, 30 years. Short stories about real people who have been persecuted for their faith and have come through. It's amazing. They're documented stories, and they're just a couple of pages long. I guarantee if you read that, you'll be challenged. Anyway, and then finally, one last thing, and I have it up in the corner here. Some preachers and teachers have used this, oh, don't worry about what you're supposed to say, because the Holy Spirit's going to speak. And so instead of studying, instead of preparing stuff for people that they're going to teach, they're just like, oh yeah, I'll just show up Sunday and we'll see what happens. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. God has met me countless times, right? When I'm up here, he'll give me additional stuff like he always does. Or sometimes I'll be at a Bible, I'll have studied something. He's like, yeah, I don't want you to do that. Like, what? I'll be at youth group. I don't want you to teach that. What? But Lord, I prepared it. Yep, thank you for that. We're going to do something else. And I do it, and God does an amazing thing. So God does amazing things, and he will give you words. I want to make sure everybody understands that. With that being said, this is not a scripture so that pastors and teachers can be lazy. Right? Oh, I just don't want to study. I don't want to do my work. I don't want to prepare. No, the Bible says study to show thyself approved, a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, who rightly handles the word of truth. We're to still do that. We're not just to be lazy. If I just showed up here every Sunday, right, and just, you know, winged it, you know, the Holy Spirit would come through. However, that's not what he wanted. Listen, I'm supposed to study. I'm supposed to put in the work and ask the Lord to lead me every step of the way. And I find that he does that. He's really amazing. And then he gets the extra stuff here all on the fly. He can change whatever he wants. It goes on to say in Mark chapter 13, 12 to 13. Again, these are rough verses, but you have to know what's a-coming. It says, brother will betray brother to death and father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Ouch. It goes on to say in verse 13 of Mark 13, everyone will hate you because of me. But even if I'm a really loving, kind Christian, yep, believe me, if they don't like your Jesus, when it comes right down to it, they're going to resent you. One of two things is happening. They're either being drawn to Jesus they see in you, or they're getting more and more resentful of it. It'll happen. It says, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. So there's a couple things I want to go over here. These words kind of seem shocking to us, right? But the reality is that Christians will not only be opposed, persecuted, and hated through official channels, governments, and things like that, but also personal relationships as well. That's a terrible thing to think about. The Greek word here, it says brother will betray brother to death right here, and father his child and all that. The Greek word is paradidomai, and it literally means to give into the hands of another. Imagine that. A brother's going to betray his brother, a father his child, a child his mom, or permit or allow or deliver a person into custody to be condemned, punished, or put to death. Wow. That is going to be a very difficult time. I mean, even political wise, I'm walking on it, right? Even political, did you notice, listen, how do I say this? Lord, give me the right words. Okay, so I'm a conservative. I don't have any problem with telling you that, okay? That's me. And if you're not that and you watch us, we have some folks that watch us online that aren't that. If you're not that here, can I tell you what? I love you guys. If you're a liberal here, can I tell you what? I love you guys. Now, we may disagree on some things right now. But as a Christian, right, I can tell you I disagree with you and still tell you that in a loving way and love you, can I? But if you'll notice right now, What? You're on that side of the fence? Oh, I just hate you. Oh, you're this really? Oh, I just hate you. If you notice an increase in the hatred, in the resentment, in the... Listen, if we're Christians, listen, I'm not saying you bow down to you. You stand, you take your stand, but you know what? You do it in a loving way. We've had folks, I told this story a while back, but we have this restaurant that we go to, and Katie's. Anyways, and one time we were all sitting outside, and this guy just came out, and he was just, I'll just shorten the story, screaming at us, you this, you that. And we just talked to him. Just told him the truth. Well, this. Well, every time I told him the truth in a loving way, he got more angry until he was like literally yelling. I would answer him all of his, well, the Bible's an old, outdated. Well, actually, there's more manuscripts for the Bible than any other historical documents by far. 25,000 manuscripts than any other literary document in history. And he went out and he's screaming, God, strike me down. I was just, where's your God now? I said, God's being, God's not your do boy. He's being merciful to you right now, giving you a chance to repent and to come to know him. And then the owner came out and he's like, I was so nervous. He was so mad. He was coming out to you guys. And the waitresses were nervous. And I told him, don't worry about that. Pastor Darren's going to kill him with kindness. So listen, I'm not saying you lie down. I'm not saying you speak the truth. You do so boldly, but you do it with love. And you show proper respect to everyone, right? Does that make sense? That's what his word says. Anyway, I'll shut up. But in an Orthodox Jewish home, right? You know, I don't know if you know this, but I've known folks, some who have held funerals for their son when they decide, or their daughter, when they decide to follow Jesus as Messiah. They become messianic believers. They actually hold a funeral for them. They're like, they're dead to them. It's sad. In a strict Muslim family or country, a family member could be imprisoned, beaten, tortured, killed. I've got tons of stories of that. Dad killing his daughter, brother killing his... In North Korea, like many other countries, you or a member of your family, right, extended family, you could be put in a concentration camp or killed on the spot, just for owning a Bible, right? And not just you. They'll take your whole family, right, just for reading the Bible. This is today. In China, you can only practice Christianity if it's controlled by the government, which is really not Christianity at all, and your church home or your church could be completely destroyed. Right now, persecution, right now, at this very moment, 2024, there is 365 million Christians worldwide right now suffering extreme persecution. Now, what scares me a little bit, which we're not experiencing that to the extent that it's felt in most other places in the world right now. We almost like live in a bit of a bubble, right? I'm thankful we live in America. Don't get me wrong. But let me tell you, other places in the world, it's way worse than this. So you need to thank the Lord, and you need to, but we also need to prepare. 1 in 7 Christians is persecuted. This is from Open Doors. They're a watch group for persecuted Christians. Anyway, this is their world watch list by numbers. I just put a few things down just to give you an idea, okay? Globally, right? So these are just some stats. About 5,000 Christians were killed. This is just in 2024, were killed worldwide for their faith, and that's a conservative number because most people never report it for fear of punishment. There's been a 7-fold increase in attacks on churches and Christian schools and Christian hospitals just from 2023 to 2024. Christians being beaten or threatened increased from 29,000 to 42,000, so it almost like doubled in 2024. Attacks on homes of Christians rose 371% just from 2023 figures. Christians forced out of their homes or into hiding more than doubled from 2023 to 24. Do you see what's going on? Listen, condensing the rest of the stats, because we would be here all day, 1 in 7 Christians, think about this, face worldwide persecution, high levels of persecution. We're not talking about minor stuff. Oh, they didn't like me at work. They mocked me at school. We're not talking about those things. We're talking about high-level persecution, right? 1 in 7, and discrimination for their faith. And the worst, either North Korea or Africa, remains the most violent place in the world for Christians, where more than 82% of the Christian killed because of their faith were in Nigeria. And that was ranked number 6, 82% of the Christians. It's incredible. The Bible says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted. If you really want to live for Jesus, if you really want to live righteously, can I tell you what? Some people aren't going to like you. You're going to be persecuted. The Bible says this, and I don't like this. This is a really tough, but if you can get through the next few weeks. But it says this in John chapter 7, Jesus says this. He's talking about his disciples, those who are following me. When he was praying to the Father, he said, hey, I have given them your word. The world has hated them, but they are not of this world, just as I'm not of this world. Neely said it best during the worship time or beforehand. She said, hey, you know what? We're just passing through. We're strangers here. We're aliens. Our home, listen, if you're saved here, you've got a home reserved for you in heaven. This is not your home. Right? This is your temporary abode. You're passing through. Remember that. Don't get too comfy here. You're on mission. God could have taken you up to be with him, couldn't he? But he has a plan for you, a purpose for you, kingdom purposes. That's why you're sitting in those seats today. It goes beyond yourself. Does that make sense? It's not for me. It's not for the church. It's not for the school. It's not for home fellowship. Not even for Pastor Gary. It's for God. And what do we do when we suffer? If anyone suffers as a Christian, the Bible says, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in the process. You know, some of those apostles, when they were captured and imprisoned, you know what they were doing? They were singing. They were praising the Lord in stocks. Not, you know, stocks and bonds. I mean, like you saw me in the picture, right, in the video. They were in stocks and chains, and they were worshiping the Lord anyway. I'm going to give them a sacrifice of praise. People don't know what to do with that. Not only that, Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, he said, but I tell you, I want you to love your enemies. I want you to pray for those who persecute you. Now, let me tell you what. I can't do that as a religious person. I can't do that unless I know Jesus. I've invited him into my heart, and he's changed the way I start to operate in my heart and soul and mind, because I don't necessarily want to pray for those who use me and hate me. You know what I want to do? Get even. That's what my flesh wants to do. But God's like, you know, I want you to pray. Lord, bring them to repentance. Because you know what? They're rebellious just like I was rebellious once. Listen, if he could save somebody like me, this is how I look at it, or you, he can save anyone. And you notice it says, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Again, that's when you see, listen, anybody can say whatever they want. Maybe you see it in your lives. You've seen it. Oh, I'm a Christian. I just live completely the way I want to live, and I don't care about God at all, but I'm a Christian. Or you see somebody go to church, but there's no change in their heart or their life or their thinking. Listen, you can say whatever you want, but God says that you need to stand up to the end. Those are the ones that are the real deal. The Bible says this. I want you to stand up, stand out, and stand firm. Right? You stand up for what's right. You stand out, I'm a Christian. There's nothing wrong with that. He doesn't have to be a jerky Christian or a self-righteous Christian, but you be a Christian. You stand up, you stand out, and you stand firm. When people are pushing, saying, hey, whatever, I'll just pick a silly one, which I never would have thought. If you've lived here more than 10 minutes, male and female. You come out male and female. Well, now you can be male, female, 33 other genders or 64 other, or an infinite. That, even logically, okay, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little track, but I think, I don't know if you saw the picture. Hey, George, I don't know if there's a way to bring this up. Do you remember that, I sent you a text with a picture on it? There's probably no way to get it in there. I saw the picture. You know the boxing thing where that dude, you beat on the Olympic woman, right? And he has XY chromosomes, but he's a woman because that's, you know. And he won the gold medal in the women's Olympics. And I was like, and I saw a picture. I have a picture on my phone of this girl. And she's like this. I think she was Chinese boxer. She's like this. And this guy is just, their whole body type is different. And I think about all those women who worked all their lives so hard to get to that level and have some dude come in and beat the... And you know what? I want to tell you something. I looked up. And you know what? I had to go through pages of everybody's congratulating him. The win is so much better after all the hate he received from people who thought he shouldn't be in the women's boxing. Everything was about how, I'm telling you, pages of calling anybody who thought anything different was hated. They were haters. The hatred. They're putting that in everybody. And I'm telling you, pages, before I found anybody who said anything different. Like, and it was a tweet from Piers Morgan. I don't even know the guy. And he's just like, hey, congratulations on the first man winning the gold medal in women's sport and you applauding it. This is a travesty. It's like, why isn't anybody standing up for this? But the point I'm trying to make is everybody was a hater. Now listen, I don't hate this dude, right? I love him. I want him to come to know Christ. However, with that being said, I don't think he should be beating on women in an Olympic sport that they've worked all their life for. And I don't think there's anything wrong with me saying that. So listen, yeah, you don't need... But the point was, anybody who thought differently, it wasn't just that they thought differently. They were haters, page after page, every single article. Like, oh my goodness, what's good is going to be called evil. What's evil is going to be called good. If you try to live righteously, they're going to hate you and hate you because they don't want to hear the truth and they don't want to live by the truth. It's going to happen. So you need to get firm with the Lord. You need to be strengthened in his word so you'll be able to stand up, stand out, or stand firm. Or as 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, and I really like this, if it'll work, there we go. Be on your guard, it says. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. I like what John MacArthur said. I don't usually quote him too much, but... Anyway, he's a author, pastor, Bible teacher. But I like what he said about this. He said, some believers live lives of almost a constant conflict with the world, while others seem to escape it entirely. He says, some Christians are not persecuted simply because their testimony is so weak they go unnoticed by the world. I don't want that to be you. It says, when biblical doctrine and standards are compromised to accommodate our sinful human nature, society has little argument with that kind of Christianity and will give little opposition to Christians. But to confront the world as Paul did, which says the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men and who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, that's what Romans 1:18 says, is to guarantee society's wrath against the gospel and those who preach it. He said, false religion reacts against believers because it's generated by Satan. Government reacts against believers because it is under control of Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the quote-unquote ruler of this world. And ungodly families and society react against believers because they cannot tolerate righteous people in their midst. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's the shot of this dude. So this is that hurt me. I'll have to check that one out. But this was him, at least at the time, winning the gold medal in a few seconds against the silver medalist in the world of women's sports. Yeah. I'm literally telling you, every article for pages was on. Don't even get me started. It's going to increase. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what I'm trying to prepare you for now. We need to get serious about the Lord. We need to get set.
In a couple of years, that's going to be a regular thing.
It's going to happen. Right. Now, we might get a reprieve for a few years. Sorry. That actually was a slip. For a few years, maybe not, you know, but even if it doesn't happen, no, that really was a slip. I was not on purpose. Sorry, I apologize. We may, but it's going to go that direction. The evil is going to increase, right? And people are being conditioned to believe lies, right? Men could be pregnant. How? Like, just logically, I'm not even saying, let me put my Christianity aside. How can you say it? You're being conditioned to believe a lie, so when the deceiver comes and starts giving you more lies, right? You're just going to eat it up. The culture is going to eat it up. It's craziness. I'm sitting here like, even logically, how could people not see this? But they're being conditioned to believe a lie. How long have I been teaching? 51 minutes? Wait, we're supposed to get to verse 27. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was speaking for 55 minutes. Okay, I'm going to, I think I'm going to stop here. I thought for sure I was going to get to more verses. I am sorry. What'd you say? Maybe, and you know what? That's what we trust in the Lord. I did pray. I said, whatever you want, God, just anoint it. So I trust the Lord. And let me tell you, guys, honestly, listen, if you can sit through this, you'll be able to sit through the next few, but you guys need to hear it. I know it's not what everybody wants to hear necessarily, but we need to be prepared. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, I want to say thank you, God, for your word that truly is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you would help each one of us to get to know you personally, intimately, Lord, that you would challenge us, Lord, that we wouldn't be a weak witness, Lord, and we also wouldn't be a self-righteous witness too, Lord. We'd just be a godly witness filled with the love of God and the truth of God, Lord. So help us to learn to grow in you and to do what you've called us to do. And the darker this world gets, help us to shine a little bit brighter, Lord God. And the darker and darker it gets, the more the gospel of Jesus Christ, the heart of Jesus Christ will shine. And some will be drawn to it, Lord, and some will rebel against it, Lord. But we pray, Lord, for every one of those people that you're working on, Lord God, that you would draw them to yourself to be saved, to be sanctified, Lord, and to walk with you the rest of their days, Lord, until you take them home to be with them. I thank you for everyone here and then everyone who listens online. Lord, bless them and help them, help us to live a godly life, Lord. We love you and we bless you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name and all God's people said, amen, 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 amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name.